Now we are privileged today for the sermonette to hear from the most recent granddad in the church, Mr. Munro.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Henderson, and good morning to you all. A few weeks ago, I received a booklet bearing the title, Does God Heal Today? As I read it, I thought, there is something missing here. There appeared to be a general lack of the educational elements that this subject really requires. We have to bear in mind that every aspect of our modern civilization is based on faulty or even false premises. In the Garden of Eden, a choice was made for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God was left completely out of the picture. When the first post-flood civilization took root, it was rooted in Babylon. Our systems of finance, economics, commerce, industry, and medicine all have their origins there, back in Babylon. By the time of Christ, physicians were performing many complex procedures, ranging from very skilled but highly dangerous operations on the skull to dispensing potions to alleviate the causes and the symptoms of many illnesses. And by contrast, today's medical practitioners would probably be condemned as sorcerers or witch doctors by their predecessors of 2,000 years ago. In this age we poke a great deal of fun at tribal witch doctors who chant their incantations over mixtures of bits of rabbit tissue, monkey brain, the blood of deceased relatives, or parts of dead children. Yet when similar mixtures are presented to us as a vaccine against some killer disease, it is hailed as the wonders of modern 20th century or 21st century medicine. And reverting back to the question, does God heal today? Because that question has been posed, it is necessary that an answer be given. In some ways, the answer is quite straightforward. Yet in others, it may be somewhat controversial or even a little bit contentious. It is, however, a problem that has to be faced by every Christian so that we know what we need to do in order that we may claim the promise that the Eternal has given to us. Now, as appears to be the usual custom, I do have a number of points to cover, but in case I run out of time, I'm not going to tell you how many points I've got. However, the first two points have been covered before on numerous occasions, and because these two points are on there, I'll only spend a little bit of time on each of them. So, point number one is faith. In order to be healed, we need to have faith. That is an active belief that God is our healer. So please turn with me to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Here we find that one of the titles of our God is that he is the God who heals. Having the faith to believe this does not, indeed, should not preclude us from investigating and identifying any health problems. Knowing what the problem is will enable us to be specific when we pray and when we ask for healing. So Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 reads as follows. And said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Eternal that heals you. So point number two is obedience. Here I would like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now if we obey the laws set in place by God, we will reap the reward for that way of life. If on the other hand we do not, we will receive the wages of those particular actions. It is cause and effect. The wages of disobeying physical laws are physical death. And in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2 we read the following. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, and if you will hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. And then follows number of blessings which the Eternal promises to those who obey him. But if you drop down to verse 15, we read the following: "And it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that these curses shall come upon you." And you read down through the rest of the chapter, and you have all the curses that the Eternal says will come upon you if we disobey him. So as I said before, it is cause and effect. Follow God's ways and reap the benefits. Follow our own ways and experience the consequences. Is this the end of the story? So point number three is repentance. But here you may ask, what do I include as repentance? There are two occasions, maybe more, on which Jesus healed people and then gave a specific instruction. Now if we turn to John chapter 5 and verse 14 and read this passage, I'm sure that everything will begin to fall into place. The scribes and the Pharisees actually castigated Christ because he told a man to pick up his bed and walk, as his sins had been forgiven him. However, as I said previously, there are at least two occasions when the following injunction was given to those that Jesus healed. And if we read John chapter 5 and verse 14, we see what this injunction is. "Afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." We come to God's ministers seeking relief from some affliction or another. We have genuine faith in God's ability to be able to heal us. We do our best to obey God. But have we repented of whatever it is that is causing our sickness? In the mid-19th century, Louis Pasteur discovered germs. Now, eat or drink something that is contaminated with salmonella or certain strains of E. coli, and you will experience food poisoning. However, since the 1850s, the medical profession has almost universally insisted that all illnesses are caused by germs, bacteria, and viruses. And that just is not true. Many of the most serious illnesses known to man are the result of what we put into our mouths, or what we fail to put into our mouths. Cancer, diabetes, scurvy, pellagra, beriberi, being just a few cases in point. Now, one television newscaster, whose name is so well known that I completely forgot who he was, decided to live on McDonald's food for a month and nothing else but McDonald's, because it was advertised as being healthy. Now, he gained several pounds, felt terrible, and now after only 4 weeks on that diet, he has liver damage. Processed foods are another area of concern. The food industry is interested in the balance sheet bottom line, that is, the profit margin. As a result, a cocktail of preservatives, flavour enhancers, and other additives, or colouring agents, are added to processed food. We are told that each individual additive is harmless, but no one has investigated the synergetic effect of a cocktail of these additives, or if they have, they have not told the consumer. Even so, many, many researchers are emphatic that these additives are carcinogenic, that is, that they are known cancer-causing agents. Many authorities, and Mr. Armstrong was among them, advise that we should eat food that will rot, but that we should eat it before it spoils. In order to extend the shelf life of many vegetables and much fruit, some supermarkets now irradiate their fresh fruit and vegetables. And irradiation literally kills off the living matter in the fresh fruit and vegetables. Some outlets, restaurants and hotels will have meals available for you as soon as you walk in the door. And you wonder, has this food been pre-cooked and kept hot? Or is it some factory processed produced meal that has been placed in a microwave oven and then served up to the unsuspecting client? And subjecting food to microwaves also destroys the nutritional value of food. In fact, it has a very similar effect to that of irradiation. So what do we do? Even what can we do? First and foremost, we need to ascertain the cause of our illness. We must find out if our being unwell is down to our lifestyle or down to our diet, or both, as both these factors play an enormous part in our health and well-being. Now, here is where repentance comes in. If we are eating a poor diet consisting of foods which have been denuded of their life-giving vitamins, nutrients and fibres, we are going to become ill. Similarly, if we drink polluted water, we are going to become ill. If we live a stress-filled life in substandard housing in an oppressive area, we will become ill. If we burn a candle at both ends for too long, we will become ill. It is a natural reaction to unnatural stimuli. Repentance means we change those stimuli. Now, because this world's civilization is based upon a faulty foundation, it has veered further and further away from the truth. This is true of medicine, of pharmaceuticals, and the food industry as a whole. The medical fraternity, the pharmaceutical conglomerates, and the great food-producing industrialists wield enormous power. Unfortunately, Satan, being the god of this world, Satan is the one who is ultimately behind that power. But as Revelation 18 verse 4 states, "Come out of her, my people, let you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." If we are sick, come to the elders of the church. Believe God who heals us. Obey him and repent of our lifestyle and our diet if that is what is causing us to be ill. Let us get back, so far as we are able, into conformity with the ways of God in every conceivable way. Our health depends upon it. Our healing depends upon it. I'm not saying that we should never consult a doctor or a dentist, or that we should never take a pill. Medical people can assist in many areas: childbirth, trauma resulting from accidents, setting of broken bones and binding up of wounds. But they cannot heal, and we need to repent of our faith in them and in the pharmaceutical industries. Neither am I saying that we should never eat fast food or processed food, but so far as we are able, we ought to steer clear of foods that have been tampered with and denuded of their goodness. Reverting back to the question, does God heal today? We are able to give an emphatic answer. That answer is yes, undoubtedly God does heal. He heals today just as he always has done in the past. But he requires of us faith, obedience, and repentance.